Before we get into our lesson this morning, I had a question. It's interesting. When I was a kid, my dad would do things sometimes or say things or whatever, and I said, "Why'd you do that?" And he said, "To make you ask questions." So several months ago, I put something on the bulletin to make folks ask questions, and finally today somebody asked. If you notice on the bulletin, there it's listed, it says the pastors, Alex Coleman and Philip Lyle, it has the preacher, James Pastlin, and it has the deacons, James Pastlin and Jason Ward. For a long while, it said elders there, and I changed it to pastors to see if anybody would notice. And after several months, somebody finally did and said, "Well, talk about that in just a minute." So that's correct, and that's why I did it to make you ask questions, just like my dad used to do to me. What we want to notice is when it comes to the areas of work in the church, and particularly the what often is referred to as offices in the church. And that's not an unscriptural term. The Bible does say if any man seeks or desires the office of a bishop. So it is a biblical term to talk about the offices. A lot of times people don't have problems with the deacons because deacons, there's just that one term. But sometimes when it comes to preachers, elders, pastors, bishops, and they get all confused about, well, what's who and who's what? And a lot of this confusion comes from the denominational world where the preacher is called the pastor, and that's not the scriptural terminology. Now, on certain occasions, a preacher may be an elder in the church, but one man cannot be the leadership of the church. But we want to notice regarding these roles, one being the preacher, also sometimes he's referred to as a minister, and sometimes as an evangelist. And those three terms are used interchangeably to describe his role in the church of preaching the word, teaching the word, and serving the members of the congregation as well. And that's his role in the church. Deacons, of course, that word comes from a Greek word that literally means servants. So they are the servants of the church, and they do specific tasks. The confusion often comes with those other three, often elders, bishops, and pastors. Now, often we have confusion over those three, and sometimes you'll have places where over a local church there's a pastor, and then there's a bishop who's over several churches. Sometimes you have, in some churches, you've got teenage boys that are called elders. And so there's a lot of confusion about those three terms. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 20, and let's look very quickly here at this, and then we'll look at one other passage, and then we'll move along. I want us to notice, though, that these three terms or descriptive phrases are used to describe one group of men. Not one man, but one group of men. Always, in every place in the Bible where we read about the leadership of the church, it's a group, more than one man, who's leading the church. And they are sometimes... One of the things, we sometimes take Greek words and translate them. Sometimes those Greek words were just transliterated, which means they just took an English letter that was close to the Greek letter and put it in its place and made up a new English word. And that's the case with some of these. Notice in chapter 20 of Acts, in verse 28, well, let's look actually back to verse 17. It says, "From Miletus, he," that's Paul, "sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." So we see here, the elders is who he called. Now the term elder refers to one who is older, and it had to do with them not being a new Christian, not being young, but being older. You don't want the decisions to be made by a bunch of 18 to 20 year olds who have no experience in life. That's wonderful for them to be a part of the congregation and to serve the Lord, but you don't want them running things because they don't have any idea how to run things. And the Bible talks about that. This man needs to be someone who's raised a family. He's got kids that he's raised, that he's done a good job raising them, and you can see that he's able to handle his household, so you know he can handle the house of God. You don't want teenagers handling this kind of a serious thing. And so then he goes on, then as we move on down, after he called them to him and he tells them some things, down in verse 28, he speaks to them, still continuing to talk to them, and he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock." And there's the idea of a shepherd there in a flock. They're over this flock. Well, a shepherd is over the sheep. He says, "Over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." And that word in the King James, it's translated overseers. In other translations, it may be translated a different way. But in some, it may have a footnote even. I have one here, it has a footnote that says, well, traditionally, that's bishops. And that's what the Greek word literally means, overseers, but the Greek word actually, if you just took it letter for letter and changed it to English, that's where the word bishop comes from. But it means to oversee something. And so we've got the word elder that describes someone who's older. We've got the term bishop or overseer, it's the same term, that describes someone who's in charge of seeing to something, overseeing it. And then we have the idea of a shepherd, and he mentions that idea again when he says to feed the church of God. And that's the idea of the shepherd, caring for it, feeding it, providing for the flock, for the sheep. I want to mention also in 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll just breeze through this one and then we'll move on to our lesson this morning. Chapter 5 of 1 Peter in verse 1, he says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder." So we see an individual who's part of this group is an elder, or a bishop, or a shepherd, or an overseer. But then the group as a whole is the elders. And notice what he said here, "the elders which are among you." So a leader isn't a leader of a congregation 100 miles away. He's among those that he's leading here. And then he goes on to say, "and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." And he says again, "feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof." There again, that idea of overseeing that church. Hard to oversee something if you're 100 miles away or 500 miles away or on a different continent. That's hard to oversee a work like that. You've got to be right there in the midst of it. So again, he uses that term, among you. And he says, "feed that flock, taking the oversight, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre." In other words, not doing it to get wealthy or famous, "but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." We need men who are going to be the examples to be in the leadership position. Not somebody who's out there telling you, "you go do it, but I won't," but an example. He goes on to say then, in verse 4, "and when the chief shepherd," and that's where we get the term pastor as well, that term shepherd or pastor. That's the same idea there. "The chief shepherd shall appear," and that's Jesus Christ. He's the chief shepherd. He is the head of the church. But under him, these other elders or overseers or shepherds were working under him. But he says, "when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away." So he again, he mentions all three of these ideas, and they again carry with them the idea of who the leadership is to be. They're supposed to be older, mature men. They're supposed to be those who are willing to oversee something, and that's where the term bishop comes from. And then they're also supposed to be shepherds or pastors that care for the sheep in the flock. And the Bible again and again talks about the fact that they have a responsibility to do that. And so throughout the Bible, in places when Paul writes letters or other times, he'll mention, sometimes he'll say to the elders and deacons. Sometimes he'll say to the bishops and deacons. You know, so he uses these terms interchangeably to describe the same group of men that's the leader. But that's not the preacher. The preacher is under the authority of those men who are the elders or the leaders of the church. And often, still, you know, somebody said, "well, I thought you were the pastor." "No, I'm not a pastor. I'm one of the deacons. I serve the church. I'm a minister. I minister to the church. I preach. I evangelize, but I'm not one of the pastors. Now, one day when my kids grow up, if I've raised them properly as I fully intend to, maybe someday I may be an elder in a congregation. There's no scripture that says the preacher can't. I know of several preachers who do serve in that position as well. And some elders who preach. I know Alex would like to get up here and preach sometimes. We'll give him a chance one of these days for what you want. But we just want to clarify those roles in the church just briefly.